Up dog fella, look good, feel good, play good. We got some new Adidas golf swag coming the fella's way.
I don't know if any new golf swag would help your game, but I love it. Adidas is excited to introduce new offerings within the Go-To apparel collection that allows you to bring your style to the golf course. Not the traditional golf uniform, Go-To brings a fresh attitude to the game wherever you play. You'll look good on and off the course while enjoying all the technical benefits that let you play your best.
Featuring streetwear-inspired style, the Go-To collection rewrites all the rules and encourages you to express your style through every swing. Explore the new Go-To collection on adidas.com/golf.
Fellas,
Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
What's missing curfew? It's when you kind of play guilty, but you show up.
How nice is a green light on the road, though? No practice tomorrow, no plane, just go.
Scotty Upshaw in the clear, and he scores! Right in front, scores!
A few laughs, a little bit of fun, and obviously a lot of hockey talk.
You're listening to Missing Curfew.
The lads.
Fella,
my man.
Woo!
How we doing?
I got a little lip over here.
You need a little bit more than the lip movers today, I think.
Hey, buddy, it's called ludicrous.
Is there a little caffeine in there?
No. I've had like three coffees this morning. Swam in one, almost drowned in that pool. Thank God I was in the Bay Club pool and not the Big Canyon pool where there's a deep end. But ludicrous lemon flavor. Never had this one.
Well, just try it up and then toss it, give it a little sauce pass over, fella.
Good to see you, buddy. Good to see you there. I thought I was on your flight home from Vegas, but you ducked out early on the boys.
I did. When did you? Well, the best thing about this JSX, bud, usually I have sauce pass.
Yeah.
Usually JSX, for those of you out there, a little private aviation. Tickets are usually expensive to get to Vegas from
a little private aviation.
No, but they are. They're usually like, you know, $800-$900.
Yeah, that's what mine was round trip.
Mine was like $800 total. And then I had a little bit of the guilt going this morning. I know it's a useless emotion for those of you out there who are wondering. And I just, you know, it was really early. It was really early Saturday. And I was feeling it a little bit from Christina. You know, she's like, our nanny couldn't come over. And guys out there who deal with that, they know what I mean. And so I just was like, you know what? There's two earlier flights. You know, I can make the 10. So I made the 10:30. I got home by noon.
That must be
and
nice.
She got to go out with her girls. I took the kids. It was actually great. I took the kids to... I took him to breakfast, my favorite breakfast spot with him at the time.
Yeah.
I loaded up on the coffees. And
your girl's at the Bay Club.
She went to the Bay Club.
A few of the other OC.
Did you make it over there?
They should have their own show. Why doesn't your girl do her own show in Orange County? I bet
she hates Orange County.
She hates Orange County.
Hey, why would she? She'd do a show anywhere else.
Anywhere but Orange County.
She'd do it in New York or in Aspen for sure.
She hates Orange County.
She's got no friends here.
Well, she was with like four girlfriends when I saw her there. Like
Stacy's her friend.
Ariel.
She doesn't live here, though.
They had a couple other that look like a pretty solid crew, if you ask me.
Were they not bad?
Yeah, I mean, they look like they're having a nice time sitting on the patio at the Bay Club.
Yeah,
it's good living.
She just grew up here, so she's bored here. That's the thing.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, when you're used to living in New York at Aspen, this is definitely a slower pace, right? Like, you're not going to go for dinner every night here. Or you're not going to...
Yeah, that's just for you. Yeah, I guess for the people who are like her, it would be repetitious here, Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Which some of us don't mind, especially if you're golfing, teeing it up, and you're only an hour flight away from Vegas.
There was a time when I first retired here that I was kind of like, Newport's boring. You know, it's a little small. I may or may not have ran myself through it a little bit here, right? Like, I was like, where am I going to go again? Like, Rothschild's is my spot. I'd go with Frank because Frankie's the man. I go there, but then... Wouldn't really go to the Goose anymore because I felt like it was a younger crowd and I was getting in fights there. And then, you know, a restaurant I suspended myself from. So I was like, maybe it's time for a change of pace. And I'm glad I didn't because now for my lifestyle, Newport is the best.
For sure.
Like, you know, up, get my swim in, golf with the boys, come to the studio with you. I'm on the couch every night.
Yeah, you're watching hockey, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the most exciting life, but.
I mean, it gives you some great content, fella.
But you know what was exciting? Saturday. Saturday with you and Loops. Listen, to the fellas out there, I'm sure you guys got some guys you play beer league with that you get to see on Wednesdays or whatever. Listen, I can't remember the last time that me, you, and Loops hung out, just us three.
Yeah.
And I told Mac Miller, and, you know, actually, I sent the video to Ariel of Loops in the number one creek there trying to get it out, and she just texts back, I'm so glad you three got to hang out together. And I was like, you know what, Ariel, I appreciate you saying that because we don't really get to do it very often anymore.
For sure.
And Mac Miller said the same thing. She's like, I'm glad you guys got to do it. Well, it was awesome. Shadow Creek, what a place, man.
Yeah.
What a track.
Insane. It's a top fiver for me.
Listen, I've never been to Augusta, and you have. Maybe if I'm way off here, tell me I'm way off. But when we went through the old Shadow Creek Drive, it was called, then those gates opened, I felt like that for that moment I was going down Magnolia Lane.
Yeah.
With my two boys, you pull up. The clubhouse has that old school, it looked like, got like white and green, it had Augusta feel to it. Yeah, nobody there.
No, it's very colonial. They had the green, yeah, the green awnings, one story clubhouse, looked like, you know, Steve Wynn back in the day and Tom Fazio. They did an incredible job with the vision, because there's just, you know, it, back then, and there's, I wish I showed you the photo. In the photo there at Shadow Creek, which is in Las Vegas, for those of you out there who may not have heard this, top 25 golf course in the world. It's such a treat. Used to be really hard to get onto. Now, if you're a big time player at MGM, they now own it, so you can get on there, but it's still like $1,500 rounds. It's, yeah, not your typical Muni course.
Oh.
So when you come in, you're in this fucking, it was a dirt field before, right? It's just desert. And then Steve Wynn had this vision of bringing in a shitload of dirt and creating like this oasis, which if you got airdropped in there by a helicopter with a blindfold on and someone told you to take a wild guess, like pick five places you think you are. You'd pick North Carolina, you'd pick maybe Boulder, Colorado, you'd pick Utah, by the trees, yeah, by the ducks, by the fucking, remember the big old swans?
I was the fattest swan.
Stop looking at me, swan.
Stop looking at me, swan.
There's a black swan in the creek, too. I was on the other side of the fairway. Natalie, I wanted to show you guys. Black swan.
Natalie Portman. What's she doing? She doesn't even act anymore. Remember?
Oh, she was probably
still working back
good
in the day.
For sure.
But
there's a photo in there. Oh, that's what I was saying. Photo in there of when he first built it. And when you just, it's an aerial shot, and it is nothing around but this just green pasture of oasis golf, tricked out, and it's where all the big boys used to play.
I mean, you go in that,
you feel awesome.
You go in that locker room. Talk about where we didn't, where you feel like you don't belong. MJ, JR was in there. Ex-presidents, football, Devontae Adams.
Yeah,
legit. I mean, I can't even
Elway's
think of
got a spot. Yeah. I heard today, had breakfast with our boy Brendan Welsh. His old man Lou's got a star locker.
Oh, there. Sweet Lou, God, yeah, rest your soul, Lou. We miss you every day, fella. Talk about $1 million smile.
Yeah,
remember when Sweet Lou used to come in with that
$1 million, you know, stories too?
Oh, he was,
what a guy.
He was gone way too quickly. But yeah, only two houses on the whole course. Steve Wynn had the one on 18 where you went over there and you wanted to try to play it out of his backyard.
I wanted to see it was my nugget.
I was going to let you play it, too.
I know you
the
were.
The caddy's like, up dog?
Can't even
up
have you dog walk over there. I go, there's only cats live in
he
that
goes,
place.
He goes, unfortunately, can't let you go in there, buddy. Can't let you go in there. I'm like, ups, play it if you want.
I'm not going to go, like, take a dump.
And yeah, Loops is like, we can't let him play that. He's like, I'm here, too. He's going to get that up and down. I'm going to go, so I'm like, yeah, you're right. Uppy, sorry, buddy, can't play that. Two houses on the whole place. One for Steve Wynn, when obviously the owner. And then he had his buddy who ran the whole Shadow Creek for him when it was owned by Wynn. They sold it, but now that house his buddy lived in, our caddy told us, this rich guy bought it. There's just three hairless cats.
Yeah.
What are those cats called? Kyle, look up hairless cats, please.
I don't know, but they're ugly.
But they're living in this mansion at Shadow Creek, and that's it.
Yeah.
Imagine being
they
that
just
rich
have little cat caretakers in there.
That's crazy to me, man. Crazy to me.
I wonder if they got any pretty litter in there.
I'm just... Yeah, that's what it was.
All this.
The sphincter.
It's because you can see their sphincter. There's no hair covering their sphincter.
They get the old Brazilian wax job there. But I couldn't believe it. I'm like, if I had billions of dollars, I still wouldn't have a house just for like, I'm not a cat guy, so it would be dogs for me, but I would just have my three dogs. I'd give it to one of my boys. Franchise Shane Taylor. There you go, buddy. Have at it.
Yeah.
Live in there.
Dog of the week.
Yeah, have a yeah time. But thank you to Tom Riley. It was an unbelievable day. Then we go right to Yellowtail for a National League dinner. Riley's got his own chopsticks at Yellowtail. That's when you know you come in there and you're
does,
it says Tom Riley on his chopsticks.
Wow.
That's a nice touch.
Does he still elect to use the fork? Or?
Oh, no, he goes just choppies.
Yeah, like
one at a time. food was unbelievable. And then we all, in DraftKings, Mr. Curfew style, we hammered the Vegas Golden Knights. They came out, laid it to them early. The Red Wings hung around, man. Hung around, made it 2-1, made it 2-2, 3-3, but anyways, we got it done. How much fun was that?
It was epic.
That's
MGM suite there, best place to watch a hockey game.
That's the thing about gambling. Like, obviously, gamble responsibly out there, but when you go to a game with your boys and you got a little cheddar on it and you're like, let's go, let's go. It was unbelievable. And I just want to parlay it into UFC 299. Dustin Poirier, man, this guy is an absolute legend. I don't know, for the fellas out there to watch the fight, fought this up-and-coming wrestler. Me and Loops had it on the phone in the suite watching the game. I took him at plus 185, and Loops is like, oh, he's in one. Fights him off, boom, boom, boom. Knocks him out.
Crazy.
Diamond. He's a legend, bro.
He is now.
He's going to fight Islam for the belt. That fight, he fought a young and up-and-comer-ups, and now he's going to get a chance for the championship again.
So wow. 35 years old.
I
mean,
man.
Some of his knockouts, there was a highlight that UFC Instagram put out to you the other day. When he went through, I mean, he took down McGregor, which was just a beat down. Like,
dude.
He beat his ass.
I mean, he's taken down everybody.
He has, right?
It's crazy.
35 years old.
Yeah.
And I remember at one point he said he was done.
Yeah, 30 remember? UFC fights.
Crazy.
Yeah, he did a UFC podcast in the last couple of days about how he was battling some mental toughness or mental, not toughness, depression.
Yeah.
Almost retired, fought through it, but it was in Miami. And Dana White, like, I haven't been to Miami in forever. I think you're actually going this weekend for Jimbo's birthday party, but this city's electric.
Yeah.
Electric.
Well,
biggest gate in the history of the arena. And that's where the Heat play. That's the biggest gate ever for any kind of sporting event.
They can stockpile them in around the octagon.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. But Poirier, you're the man. And then last but not least here, in our little intro, I took Scottie Scheffler for plus 650.
I know. Congrats. Yeah, wow. Yeah, Is that the first time you ever did a call like that? Let's be honest. You threw $1,000 down for a plus 600?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do it on a guy and not just waste your money, that's the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, his
hadn't
game
won
is
yet.
Fire.
Hadn't won yet.
But his game is so good.
It's a ball striking course. I did a little bit of research and found out that he had a new putter. So he had a new putter that he's been using that I thought was, you know, heading in the right direction. Smaller field because it's one of the, whatever they call it, elevated events. I thought, hey, this guy's going to get it done. And he found a way to get it done for me. And then I put another $1,000 on him at the halfway point or after the third round at minus 275. I gave him another $1,000.
Yeah, because he starts to heat up on the weekends.
I just thought, this is the guy.
Good luck catching him.
The Players' Championship presented by Adidas Golf.
Made for wherever you play.
Ooh, baby. I would love to play this course.
Yeah.
Never played it.
Yeah, let's just touch on Adidas Golf for a sec. This is one of our first new ads for Adidas Golf.
Yeah, we're going to be doing the Players' Championship, all four majors, and then it's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Tee time segment.
Tee
time. When the teams
miss
the playoffs, and then when you lose in the first round, second round, third round, it's tee times. Going to be presented by our good friends at Adidas Golf. But yeah, they gave us some cool shit when we were at the
Waste Management Open. Yeah, I think the line's great. I got this new half zip up. It's like a windbreaker. Looked good. It was tits.
Yeah, I think somehow when you took the Sprinter van to Vegas, someone took my windbreaker.
They did, huh?
Yeah, because that's the only thing that I didn't get out of my box.
Let's check Garrett's closet.
I think so. Was
Garrett lights the baggie.
Was there anyone that was a double XL riding around the Sprinter van that would have sniped that on me?
No, there wasn't. Only you, my friend.
Shit. Well, maybe I misplaced it. But
although we did have a bunch of the boys in there. No, it's just you.
I don't know. If we had a security camera in there, I bet you there'd be some footage of some foul play with the sticky hands. Oh, Adidas Golf, I'll take that fella. But listen, I've never played the TPC Updog. I've been there one time back when I played for Tampa. Speaking of tee times, we missed the playoffs. Me and Nick Tardaski went to check it out. I mean, unbelievable atmosphere. 25 bananas up for grabs this week, Updog. And you talk about not a cheap course to play. I saw something online, $900 to play a round at Sawgrass.
It looks well worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pete Dye course, to your eye, challenging. I mean, and it's a player's course. It's challenging to the utmost confident golfer out there, which is why you brought this up earlier, and I read this too. No ever back-to-back winners.
Crazy,
but there's a chance that your boy, Scottie Scheffler, if you're going to take him again, I'm not sure. I got to ask you in a second here. He wins last week. He won in 2023 there. Is this the year maybe someone pulls through?
Listen, I thought about taking him.
Yeah.
I know, mean, his did. Odds are.
Well, he just won you $6,000.
Plus 500.
I'd say you'd be cheating on him if you didn't.
Yeah, listen, he's plus 500. And the next closest guy to him is Rory at plus 1,200 on DraftKings. That's a big spread, man. So, listen, I just... I think there's obviously a reason why no one's gone back to back. I think he won last weekend. I think it takes a little bit of the pressure off that he hadn't won already. And I don't think he's going to putt it well enough. I think the greens at the Players are trickier than Bay Hill. There's a lot of different levels on the old Pete Dye. I don't think his flat stick's going to hold up.
But yeah, you kind of got to bring your whole game.
You got to bring the whole bag.
You know what? I had a chance to watch a little Inside the Players today, which was great because it turned it on early. I was up early. It was 6:30 a.m. Boom, I'm in the chamber. Fire it on. And,
out.
You know, no, I'm watching Rory play, and Rory, he's chipping balls from different areas in the green, and I'm like, oh, this is, I'm getting a live touch in on a practice round. But what I did get a chance to see was this Mark McCumber. Remember him?
How do I know that name?
Mark McCumber. He won in 1988, but he's a local. He's the first ever local to win, right? So he had the crowd behind him, and he talks about the golf course. It was a little bit different back then, he says. But Pete Dye, you know, he wanted to challenge all the players. He's like, you guys are the best in the world. I want you to show up here, and to your eye, I want this to be the most challenging golf course ever. And then down the stretch, if you look at the last couple of holes and what they are, I want you to sweat. Like, this is the fifth.
Break out the monkey bump.
This is your fifth major, right? This is the fifth major, arguably. Toughest one to win as a regular golf tournament. I want down the stretch you guys to be challenged. Now, what he talks about is from the tee, some of the tee boxes, and this is hilarious because we could, you and I as golfers, we're looking around, we're like, the tee is not lined up down the middle of the fairway. Well, he does this purposely on these. Like, he'll angle it down like the left side of the fairway, and you're like, well, it's all the room is on the right. So he's playing like mind games with you. And then he also talks about, you know, it's hole 17, but he's like, if I put a 130-yard golf hole with just bunkers around it and like deep rough, you guys would hit the green 85% of the time. But when I surround it by a, you know, by a body of water, you guys are going to make, you're going to make 5, 7, 9.
You're going to
make a
lot. It's crazy how a hole that's 135 yards, right? What was 17 playing at shallow? What was it playing? 130? You hit two wedges to fucking 6 feet. But there with the wind swirling in the stadium, it's crazy up, dog. And you're so right. If you when you go to the course, when you get to 16, the course completely changes. The rest of the course is kind of tucked in trees. And then you get to 16, and it's the big par 5. Then you got 17, 18, where all the water, and it's like a completely different course. And Pete Dye's wife actually said to him about 17, she said, well, why don't you just make it an island? Right? He wasn't sure what he was going to do with it. She said, just make it an island, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
So she gets a lot of credit for it. But it's crazy when you get to 16 how much that course changes, and it's just on. Anything can happen.
Yeah. Stephen Weiss, I play with Weiser. Shout out to my boy. He's a beauty.
Weiser's a beauty. I speared him.
He used to go there all the time.
Yeah.
He was a great golfer, too.
Yeah.
But he used to go play that all the time. He gave me the invite a couple times, but I never made it up there. But who do you got winning it this weekend, fella?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I want to touch one thing real quick with you here. I want the Netflix Full Swing.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it all the last day. I was hung cheese on the fucking couch for a day and a half. Hung.
Yeah, day and a half.
Hung. I got up Monday morning, went to the fucking Big Canyon Spa, hot tub, steamer, shook it off, but hung. I wasn't doing much more than that. Doors open, everything open, but I'm like, I'll watch this. So Zach Johnson was literally sharing houses with Jordan Spieth. Now maybe this is smart by Spieth and Thomas, right? The captain of the Ryder Cup team, they're like, hey, Waste Management, you can stay with us. So they were staying in houses with him. They were buddies with Zach Johnson, flat out buddies with Zach Johnson. And then you go to like Keegan Bradley, who like the whole time, all he wanted to do was on the Ryder Cup. He's like, I feel like I'm on the outside in. And anyways, he ends up taking Justin Thomas. And when you watch this Netflix special, you're like, they fucked Keegan. Keegan was the guy. And I get it. If I was a captain and you were on the fence up, dog, I would probably take you. I would take you. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but when you see this happen in a way it goes throughout the season, that Keegan got fucked. It was, and when Zach Johnson called him, he's like, hey man, I'm sorry, Keegan, you deserve to be on this team. But I guess good for Thomas. He did enough ball licking that it got him on the team.
So he's a ball licker.
And listen, he looked to be a little bit of a ball lick. But he played great in the Ryder Cup. I mean, do you remember all that stuff with Cantley and his hat?
Oh, it was terrible.
And then Rory tried to fight Joe LaCava on the green.
Yeah, and Joe just happened to be with us not too long before that.
Yeah.
Where was that at? Big Canyon he was with us.
Yeah, you played with him, didn't you?
Yes, And I by rights, he should have. If I was Rory, I would have done the same thing. Cantley made that long putt, and he stood in front of Rory,
right in Rory's lap.
And Rory was still a 30-foot putt away.
Yeah.
And he,
yeah.
But like he was way out of the, and he stood right over him and was like, "Wait, yeah, it was bad.
It was crazy." And if listen, the whole, I'll be
so
honest,
they show all
the,
that.
Oh yeah, the whole Netflix season's not great. The last two of the Ryder Cup are great. Like they follow Tom Kim around. I mean, nice kid, you know, nerd. They follow Joel. What's his name? The guy who took his shirt
off.
No, Joel Duhame or what's his name? The guy who took his tarp off last year at the.
Okay.
And I mean, he's struggling. He's talking about how he's famous now, but it's, I mean, it's not a great season. But the last two episodes, man, of the Ryder Cup behind the scenes, like Shane Lowry's yelling at Joe Lakoff, "Get the fuck off the green, man!" And then Rory's going at him in the parking lot. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, that's why team golf should be more team golf.
Yeah.
Right?
If you get a
stick up for your buddy.
Yeah, if you get a chance, try to just watch the last two episodes.
Yeah,
you
don't
need to waste your time with the rest.
Awesome. That's
and then
good
tell
tip.
Me how you feel. But sorry, back to the Players' Championship presented by Adidas Golf here at Mystic Curfew. Go check out their new line, like the Updog said. They got some cool new stuff. More of like a, they're going for more of a, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Not greens.
Not retro, but more like.
Oh, they're bringing it back.
They're baggy? Bringing it like, what's the word I'm looking for here?
I haven't tried on the pants or anything.
I got the shorts. The shorts are pretty good.
Every 10 years, the things are supposed to come back. Are we at the 1996 Master look yet with the
I don't know.
Big baggy pants, Tom tight glasses?
We can go Tiger Woods with the big baggy pants, but they got some cool stuff. I'm not sure what the word I was looking for there, Updog. I blame Vegas on that. But who do you got, fella? Who you taking? Players' Championship.
Listen, long shot winner, Will Zalatoris. He's got the new Lab golf putter that I just ordered. It looks badass. I'm plus 25 hundy and plus 280 as a top 10 tickler. So listen, that's my guy. And then for those of you out there, and I know a lot of Canadians up there, you're left-handed. I know. It's fucking great. You show up to the golf course up in Canada, two, three of your buddies are lefties because you guys are beauties. Well, I'm a lefty. Top lefty, I'm taking Herman Munson. Harmon Munson.
Who the hell is
he's
that?
Minus 145. No, it's Harmon. It's
Brian Harmon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Harmon. Oh, you took my guy.
No, no. I'm taking him as the top lefty. He's minus 145. It's a great bet on the DraftKings app. So, and he's got to go against two other guys. He's got Montgomery, and he's got Hugo.
Hugo's a South African kid.
I'm taking Harmon versus Hugo and McIntyre. Yeah, McIntyre. So there's three left.
Scottish guy playing the Ryder Cup, and the other guy's a South African kid.
Minus 145. Not a bad bet. I like Harmon.
He wears the flat brim like I do. His brim is even flatter than my brim.
I mean, he's coming off the British, too, right?
I still got some sweat. I take a lot of heat from the fellows online at Mr. Curfew about the flat brims. A lot of guys give it to me. Don't love it. Not a fan of it.
Why? That's your look.
That's my look. I love that lefty pick, though, because, listen, I got my two picks here at DraftKings, baby. I'm going to take Jordan Spieth at plus 2,800 to win the Players' Championship. I don't know. I'm like you, Updog. I've been watching live at the Players the last couple days. They've said the last certain amount of winners have gone early late. Spieth's going off Thursday morning at 8:45 with Rory and somebody else. So he plays in the early late. I just think it's a ball striking course. We got to keep it in play. You got to get up and down a lot. I don't know. I just feels like he's been kind of flying under the radar for me. And then I'm going with your guy, the lefty, Brian Harmon, at plus 4,500.
That's tasty.
Was in the mix at the Honda. They changed the name of it. And I think he was in the mix a little bit last weekend as well. But I just think, because it's not a Bombers course ups, you can't just overpower TPC Sawgrass. And I just think Brian Harmon, after what he did at the Open Championship, he's a bulldog. So I got Jordan Spieth and Brian Harmon. And sorry, who are you taking to win it?
I got Zalatoris.
Zalatoris.
Plus 4,500.
Buddy, great bet. He's been absolutely trending the right way, Updog. Coming off back surgery, he's got that new putter. Did you just buy his new putter?
Yes, I did.
That's nice. So the Players' Championship presented by our good friends at Adidas Golf. Made for wherever you play. Check out their stuff online. They got some cool new stuff coming out. Look at all these kicks they got right here.
Love the
kicks. That's cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like,
skillet.
The word's not retro, but like they're making their shit cool.
Yeah.
Right? They're trying to make their stuff like cool. Like a new.
It could be retro.
Maybe it's retro. Maybe that's what I'm looking for. They got lots of stuff.
I like that second pair there. I might. Christina just bought a pair like that, like for the kicks. They're like the Stan Smiths.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
They got everything here. But their stuff's nice. So Adidas Golf, thank fella. We got to talk about Jägermeister. No chirping, no running its mouth. Let's just talk about the confidence on these guys.
Our friends at Jagermeister sent us this ad read to read on the show, fella. But they're confident that they said, don't do any of that normal ad stuff. Tell the listeners two things. Jagermeister's great, and everyone's been drinking it wrong. Well, if that's the case, how the hell do you think we should be drinking it?
Up, dog, that's a great question. Ice cold, fella. At 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jagermeister. That's it, my man. That's all they want to tell you. Damn, that's cold.
Just remember to check out Jagermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jagermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jagermeister U.S., White Plains, New York.
Thank you. Up, dog. NHL trade deadline recap here, fella. I thought it was a great trade deadline. Listen, a lot of people choked about this long-term IR. We can get into that later. But listen, I'm going to go to my winners of the NHL draft. The NHL trade deadline. And it kind of went right where my money's been placed. I took the Carolina Hurricanes at the beginning of the year at plus 1,000. 1,000 to win 10,000. Haven't loved the way they played all year. I love the pickups they made at the deadline.
Yeah.
I mean, for once, Don Waddell went out there, gave his balls a tug, and went out and made this team better. Freddie Anderson's coming back. I just think Carolina right now, look out for them. I think McFarland and Joe Sakic in Colorado did a hell of a job. The Vegas Golden Knights, they did it again. But those are my three teams that went out and got extremely better. We saw Vegas the other night, but I just think those GMs, if you're a player in those dressing rooms ups, you're fired up.
Yeah. I will say this. I watched the Calgary Flames, Carolina Hurricanes game, their first one after the trade deadline. The forwards for Carolina right now are moving the biscuit like I have never seen. It was Svechnikov, Aho. I mean, these guys were, they had this other life, you know. And when I look at Edmonton's team, for example, the first two games out of the deadline, they lay eggs. They don't, you know, they lose to Buffalo and then they go lose to Boston. Or who did they go in and lose to? No, they beat Boston 2-1. They lost to Buffalo on my Saturday.
Columbus.
And then Columbus. You know, but Carolina, buddy, coming out of the gates, wow, what a game they played. So, no, I like that. You touch on Colorado. I think they got tougher. I think they got faster. And then for me, I like the Winnipeg Jets picking up Tyler Toffoli. They realize where they are right now, and they're in a great spot.
Yeah, they are.
And you're going to need to score goals in the playoffs, especially in the West.
Yeah, if the Edmonton Oilers fans are listening out there, your biggest supporter of the Edmonton Oilers right now, besides Craig Lupo, is Joffrey Lupo. Loops loves his team. I mean, every time we rip Darnell Nurse, he just won't have it. He sticks up for him. I mean, the play the Nurse made in Buffalo and that the game we lost was, I mean, just typical Darnell Nurse. Caught in between, tries to block it, game over. But Loops loves that team. He's all in on the Oilers. He loves their depth. He thinks their D's good enough, and he thinks their goaltending's good enough.
I don't think so. I love him more than anyone, too, but goaltending is going to be shaky, and the D just make too many suspect pizza place.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they prove us wrong, but I'm with you. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid again this year. Like I said, the Avs, great moves by them, got bigger. Trenton Kidd from Nashville is a beast. That's a great pickup. And then our boy, John Cooper down in Tampa, Julian Breezeball, those two guys, they kind of fly under the radar. Anthony Duclair and Matt Dumba, I think, are both great pickups. I was just desperately trying to, obviously, Brad Treliving does not listen to Mr. Curfew, because I'm like, somebody get Dumba in Toronto. Listen, the Lightning need a defenseman probably more than Toronto did. I think Dumba's going to go down there, and I think he's going to be great down there.
Yeah.
I think you put him in that culture with Stanley Cup champions, John Cooper behind the bench, you get to live in Tampa, and you just go play. I think it's going to be a great fit for them, and I think Duclair's a hell of a player too. Good skill. I think there's two good pickups for them.
No, I think puck-moving right-handed D in this league, hard to come by. Hard to come by at the deadline, hard to come by as draft pick. But I always question Matt Dumba as a person, as like a leader. But when you put him in that room of champions, he's going to take a seat to those guys, and I think he'll be able to bring what he's capable of.
Yeah, I agree. And then back to the Carolina Hurricanes, Michael Bunting gets shipped to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, is this just Kyle Dubas loving Michael Bunting some more, or is this Carolina saying, hey, if you want this trade, you got to take Bunting? We don't want him. I mean, it's just,
I don't know.
That one to me was like, why?
But looking from the inside out, or outside in, I would say that this sort of deal affected Sidney Crosby's relationship with him.
Yeah.
Crosby's like, what the hell are you doing?
Maybe that was Kyle Dubas being like, I got to get something back here to maybe he throws Bunting on Crosby's line, right? And maybe it reemerges Bunting's career and it keeps Sid somewhat. I don't know, man. We'll see. You were pushing hard for something to get done with Sid at the deadline. It would have been amazing if had it. But
well, I think it's solidified now that it's going to happen in the summer or somewhere.
You can see how frustrated he is.
Yeah.
Like they asked him, he's like, go ask management that. But I don't know. When you talk about Sidney Crosby, it's obviously like Mario Lemieux, right? Him and Mario are the two, and you throw Yogs in there. But Mario Lemieux and Sidney Crosby, like, does Sidney Crosby want to go play somewhere else? I don't know. I would if I was him, you know? You've done everything you could in Pittsburgh. I think Colorado, go there with Nathan McKinnon, a kid that you mentored, and try to go win a couple more. But we'll see if that happens.
I think Ottawa's thrown in the towel. I think their leader, this Chris Letang's never played this worse of hockey in his life. You watch Sid's interview, Malkin. I mean, what does Malkin have to play for now? Jeff Carter. These guys are they're throwing it in. Like, they got Ottawa tonight, and I imagine Ottawa's just going to steamroll them.
We'll get to Ottawa. We'll get to Ottawa. We are going to get to Ottawa. Other deadline deals here up, dog, my man. Joel Edmondson to Toronto. I absolutely love it.
Yep.
And I know this next one you're a big fan of for the Florida Panthers.
Kyle Okposo. I thought that was a great signing. You know why? Because this guy he's not one, but he's always been a guy that plays heart and soul hockey, plays the same way. He's got great hands. He's going to fit in great, whether he's on the first line, third line, fourth line. I just think he's a complimentary player and a great addition.
Yeah.
When you get a guy, you don't want him to be the personality that's going to try to take over a room. I think he's the perfect fit. And it all just is, you know, I think Florida, the team with Bill Zito and Paul Maurice as the coach, I think they ask their players. I think they call in Barkey and say, do you want Vladdy Tarasenko in this room? I think they call in Matty Tkachuk and say, hey, do you think Kyle Okposo would be a great addition? You know, do we need this type of player? I think that's sort of the mojo they have going, Obes, and it's worked and it's paid off. And they and Carolina are set up to be, you know, to go the distance here in the East.
They're deep, man. Florida is deep. Cousins down the fourth line now here on Daily Faceoff. But, yeah, I love it. Just and you, anytime you can put a captain in your dressing room, right?
Yeah.
A leader. It's unbelievable. All these little deals here that Princey put in for us are all little veteran deals that are sneaky good. Jason Zucker to Nashville is great. Patty Maroon to the Boston Bruins, I think, is a great pickup for the Bees. We all know the Big Rigs resume. We all know what happened to Big Luch at the start of the year. You bring Patty in there, give some size. And another sneaky trade, Eric Johnson to the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah.
I like that one. Big right-handed defenseman. Won a Stanley Cup. And when we had DB and Jonesy on earlier in the year, it was like, I asked him a couple times, like, you guys are in a tough situation because you want to reward your guys for putting you in this situation. But at the same time, you have a process of where you want to go. I think if picking up a guy like Eric Johnson shows Couturier and the boys, like, hey, all right, let's see what we can do. You know, let's see when we get in what we can do. I just think it gives the boys a little bit of, all right, maybe we can do something here. Up.
No, absolutely, buddy. Absolutely.
And then your boy Jake Allen to the New Jersey Devils. Listen, they were obviously in on Markey. And what? They went the other way. They got Allen and Kapo Kakkonen, or what's his name?
Yeah.
did I butcher that?
Kapo Kakkonen.
Yeah, that's how you... Kapo... Yeah, that's the guy they got. Kapo Kakkonen. Kapo Kakkonen. Yeah. So they went out and got two NHL goalies. Listen, I think they will try to make a bigger play at Markey in the deadline, but I think that brings in two veteran guys that at least you can say, hey, Greener, Hughesy and the boys, let's give it a try. Like I don't know if they're gonna get in ups. I really don't think
Jake Allen was a great pick for them. I think the Oilers could have grabbed like a Jake Allen. Although I know Pickard had a shutout this weekend. You know, they played Pittsburgh. The Letang threw McDavid the biggest pizza I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah.
I just think having depth.
Clearly, that was a pizza.
Jake Allen had a run with the Blues with the Cup as a backup, but nonetheless, he had a run with us when I was with St. Louis, right to San Jose. You know, he's behind Brian Elliott, but he knows how to kick, and he's a great guy. I actually text Frosty and said, you guys got a great guy coming in here, and Jake Allen. He's going to be a great fit.
Yeah, you've always had good things to say about him. And he did go to Montreal and play better than expected when he first got traded from St. Louis. Right now, the Devils are at 66 and the Detroit Red Wings are at 72 and the Islanders. I mean, they're still in it. They gotta get going here. They gotta get going. I would love to see him get in, though. Obviously, love Greener, love Frosty. I think Jack Hughes is great for the game. These two goalies helped them out, Updog. But overall, Ups, I thought it was a great trade deadline. I thought GMs went out and made some good moves. And time will tell here after the playoffs get going. So it's a missing curfew. Dog of the week. Listen, the big Russian train, Valery Nichushkin, is back. The big boy is back. And the Avs need this guy, man. I was watching their game last week. The record with him in the lineup and the record without him in the lineup, it's pretty impressive. He got the OT winner against the Minnesota Wild on Friday night. I had money on the Avs. He's back. You can see he's a little rusty, Updog, but he went to the net in overtime, got rewarded. That's why he's a missing curfew. Dog of the week. They need this big boy.
Yeah, they sure do. And, I mean, what better way to come back into, you know, into form by just going to the net and using your body and scoring a big goal for your team? I mean, what better way and what better feeling than for a guy like that who's, you know, he missed 22 games to come back and just be a force and have a huge goal for their team, you know, against the Wild, who are pressing for points. So that was a big game for them.
Updog, get this guy a Labatt Blue, fella.
Presented by Labatt Blue Light, the pristine pilsner. Enjoy your beers together so you can live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsible, fella. Beer, USA, Buffalo, New York.
I'll tell you what, Updog. If you're picking a team, you want me and you on your team, because we're handing out ice cold beers every week here.
You're darn right.
And we're handing out some more ice cold ones. You set the tone. You said this to me right when you saw this guy play his first game. Go ahead. Fire him in the bat blue.
Right up north in Edmonton, Alberta, Sam Carrick. What a new addition to this Oilers team to bring some fucking fight, some FU. He fights Obes his first game, Matthew Oliver, who's an absolute killer. This guy's a killer in Columbus. In his debut, it was awesome. I think this guy was just going around, kind of running his mouth. He was getting aggressive, and Sam, right off the draw, center ice, just goes, you know what? Not in my house. And drops the mitts, has a great fight, ends up probably getting the worst of it. But, I mean, he hung in there for the guy that's, you know, got reach and got size over him. It was an epic tilt. And just what a good way, you know what it's like in a new dressing room. You go in, the guys are like, hey, nice to meet you. Like, what do you got? And you just bring it.
Yeah.
Right? It's a good way to just, you know, earn some respect amongst your teammates, your coaches, the fans, GM. It's a good look.
Yeah. No, it's great for him to come in there and fight right away. I've been through it. When I went to Vancouver, I didn't get my first fight. I think I actually just grabbed Adam Burish out of the pile and fought him. But when you go to a new team and you're a guy that's supposed to bring some physicality, you want to get one in as quick as you can. And there's nothing harder in the NHL than fighting above your weight class. And Sam Carrick does it a lot. That Olivier is pound for pound maybe the toughest guy in the league right now. So good for him. Get him an ice cold Labatt Blue. Patty Waugh, they lost last night, but I already had it in the rundown. Should have taken the under in that Islanders-Kings game. What was I thinking? I mean, that was just, like, you talk about.
I mean, the Islanders brought the heat.
They didn't bring the heat.
Yeah, what was it? Well, no, they brought the heat, couldn't score.
They went 0-for-5 on their power play.
Yeah.
Kings got the best penalty kill in the NHL. But Patty Waugh, before last night, the Islanders are 7-2-1 in their last 10. They were sitting in a playoff spot before last night's game. Get Patty Waugh on the Labatt Blue. The way they're playing defensively, the way they're playing away from the puck. Listen, he had a nice little gray suit on last night with a black-on-black tie. He looked absolutely great. Patty Waugh, get yourself a blue light. You got these boys back in the mix, Updog.
The Minnesota Wild.
Updog, you've been calling for this.
Listen, get you guys a big old case of Labatt blue lights. Listen, they pulled their goalie in overtime the other day against the Predators to go 4-on-3. What I figured out, I've been saying this for years, like you said, if you need these points, why not? You know how hard it is to get the puck back from 4-on-3 power play? It's impossible. You got that extra guy that the team, they'll never get it over the red line to take a shot down. Now, in this case, I found out that the NHL has in place a rule where if you pull your goalie in overtime to have the extra man and you lose, you do not get any points. So, I mean, screw it. You either got the 2 points, you're chasing a team above you. So in this case, that's a crucial point. I loved what it was. I think it's John Hines. He came out and was like, fuck it.
Yeah, so they take the point away.
They take the point away if you're tied.
They took New Jersey.
They took New Jersey, boy.
They take the point away?
Yes.
Is that allowed? We already got that point. What does it matter what we do in overtime?
Not if you pull your dandy.
I don't know if I agree with that rule. I think that's not a good rule. You're going to take away our hard-fought 60-minute point because we pulled the goalie? I don't think you take it away from the lads.
I like it.
You do?
Yeah, I think it should happen more.
So you think that if that would have backfired, then that you're okay with them losing the point?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just otherwise just stay 3-on-3.
Yeah, but we've played 60 minutes. We earned that point. Yep. We earned that point, and now we start overtime. And if John Hines is the head coach, it's his right to do whatever he wants to do with that goalie. But I see what the NHL, so they're making it so it doesn't become a gimmicky thing, right? They want to, then everyone's doing it.
Yeah, and I mean, people will do it down the stretch. I think they just set the example for it. If you're a team chasing other teams and they're just getting a point, you cannot afford to let them get another one.
You
got
to
get
player.
More.
Yeah, I thought John Hines, his post-game interview was awesome. He said, the 1 point doesn't do us good. We need to get 2 points every night. It would just suck if you're like, you know, I never played in overtime. So, like, you fight hard to get that point, and then we pull the goal, you lose the point. You're like, fuck, battled all that, and then we don't even get a point. But you got to give your balls
better
a touch.
Just play sometimes. A little D out there.
Play some D, boys. But I thought thought it was a great move by John Hines. Updog's been saying it for years. Fedorov. Remember Fedorov did it over the KHL? And you were like, buddy, someone's got to do this in the show. Well, they were listening to you. Get this guy, Labatt Blue, one of my former teammates, Brad Richards. And Big Dave Anderchuk, but I play with Richie. I just remember, they're in the Tampa Bay Lightning Hall of Fame. I just remember getting to Tampa as a rookie and just remembering watching Richie win the Conn Smythe, right? You know, then he invited me over to his house on Davis Island. It was just the sickest, biggest house that I've ever seen in my life. And he had just like three sick cars. And he was a member at Old Memorial. And I'm like, this guy is living the fucking dream.
Yeah.
Right?
He was a hell of a player, man.
I got to stay in this league. Like, this guy's life is unbelievable. So congratulations to Brad, Richie. It's well-deserved. He was so big for when they won the Stanley Cup. He was the first guy that actually said to me, I remember, I was dating this girl at the time. We had broke up. We got back together. And at that time, she was staying with me in Tampa. And he's like, hey, I heard a little rumor. I said, what's that? He said, I heard your girlfriend's living with you. I said, well, it's just temporary. He said, how old are you? I said, 24. He's like, yeah, good thinking, bud. He's like, please don't want to be living with your girlfriend at 24. And Brad, Richie, thanks, fella, because I didn't. And I'm here still 40 being single. But I just thought it was good advice from a guy that's been around saying, hey, fella, focus on playing the game. Enjoy yourself. And I wanted to say to my boy, Vinny LeCavier, wow, did he look good. Vinny, whatever you're doing, buddy, it's working. He looks the same way he did when he's playing. Lean, nice tan. His hair was perfect. Vinny, man, it was good to see you doing well. And to Brad Richards, I thought that was awesome, Updog.
Yeah, well done. I love Richie. Well, hell of a golfer, too.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Yeah, he had just a great life in Tampa. You know, when you just look up to a guy, you're like, wow. Last but not least here, I give this guy a Labatt Blue. I should have known not to bet against Hazy going back into Boston, but I got stung. But Kevin Hayes... had an unbelievable night. Had his two nephews there. Listen, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was unbelievable.
I thought he was the player of the game. He controlled the whole game.
It was awesome.
And did it in class and style, pointed up to the crowd after he scored his goal, had a great setup on the next. Listen, they went in and spanked the bees. And I will say this, on his goal, Shaddy, I don't know if you saw him coming or what, but you move right out of the way, and he got the whole lane. It was a... He capped it and put it right on his twig. I was pretty happy for him.
It was awesome. And he had, like you said, the nephews and his family there for more skate. Good on Hazy. Get that guy in the bat. Blue Hazy, we're happy for you, buddy. Broadway Jimmy Scoops, we miss you every day, buddy. And then last but not least, shout out to Tom Wilson. His grandfather passed away before Thursday's game. Willie told his teammates right before warm-up, they went out and scored a goal. They won 6-0. So, Willie, we're a big fan of here. Missing curfew, buddy. We're thinking about you. And... way to go out there and represent your grandfather. We'll be right back. I'm Mr. Fellas, Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Curfew. Welcome back to Missing Curfew.
It's time.
Up dog, my man. It's milk carton time. And this one I'm doing with a heavy heart. I love the Ottawa Senators players. I love Brady Tkachuk. I love Batherson. I love Timmy Stützle. I love them all. I'm pulling for them. I'm pulling for them. And I think Brady Tkachuk is the best young captain in the NHL and eventually will be the best captain in the NHL. But boys, I'm sorry. I'm putting you on the milk carton. You got swept through Southern California, and it's not like when we used to go through Southern California when you were playing the Ducks and Sharks and Kings, and they were all good, and they were all big and strong and good at home, and it just sucked. You had the San Jose Sharks and the Anaheim Ducks, who are at the bottom of the league. The LA Kings have a decent squad. You cost me money. I bet you with my heart. Fellas, you're on the milk carton because you cost me some cheddar. You can't get swept through Southern California, up dog.
Listen to this stat. The Senators have not beat a Western Conference team on the road this season. And that's bad. They lost all 15 games, and they only have the Jets and the Wild left to do that. I don't think that's ever been done. But anyway, I will say this. They had their rookie party. Okay, everyone knew that.
Yeah, that's why.
They came into Anaheim the next day after we saw them. They should have won. That's what I'm saying. They actually peppered him. You know, it was our goalie, the Anaheim, that stood on his head. But
the stall, he was
when it costs you money, it stings. And anytime things cost you money, there's a good chance you're going to be put on the milk carton.
Yeah, I love these kids. I've got to know all of them. And listen, Uppy, they got talent.
I know.
They have so much talent. They're still young. You're right. They should have won that game. But you can't go into San Jose and lose. Listen, I will say this to Steady Stevie Steos. Whoever their next head coach, this is the biggest decision in the Ottawa Senators franchise. They need to go out and hit an absolute home run with the head coach. Whoever Steady Stevie thinks it's going to be, you cannot fuck up this one. You need this to be the guy that can come in here and turn this around. I'm not putting it all on DJ Smith ups, but enough's enough with this team. It's time, boys. You got to turn this around. You got too much talent. You're too good of guys. You got to find a way to win hockey games, up, Doug. That's what it's all about. You know that more than anyone. You got to find a way to win hockey games.
And losing the last 7 games is not perfect.
God, cost to be cheddar,
turn it
boys.
Around.
Do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I will. I will say this. Okay, listen, the NHL salary cap and long-term IR use. Whether this is milk carton or not, I will say one thing. I love the fact that the Golden Knights are just plain and simple gamblers. They put it all on the line. Bill Foley, as their owner. I think he just has stones, man. He has stones between his...
Mabas. He's got big mabas.
He's got big mabas. Because, listen, back-to-back years, let's just go back 3 years. He trades for Jack Eichel. Jack Eichel wanted surgery on his neck. Buffalo was electing to say, no, you're not going to do it this way. So they took a shot, and they brought him in and said, you can do the surgery you want. And he misses an extended period of time. But they get him back. It takes him a year to get ready, but it works. It works. They win a Stanley Cup. Jack Eichel's healthy. He's one of the best players in the NHL. But great on you for taking the chance. Now they're taking a chance on another guy with term who's battled knee injuries, Thomas Hertl, who makes $8 million bucks for the next 6 years. And you're going to just give away young players. And I get it. Your young players may not ever pan out. They could be flops, but they could be Shea Webbers of the world. They could be fucking... Kale McCarr at that. Who knows what you could pick? These kids are good nowadays. You trade for Thomas Hertl and you fucking test your stones again and you go in and say, I know my team right now isn't playing great, but with one or two pieces, that we're going to have come playoff time, can't have them now because we're over the cap, we might have a chance to win again. Because I think when game one starts, if Stone is healthy and if I think Martinez is out, but if Carrier, Stone, and Hertl are back, they're going to have a cap of over $100 million. And that is just well thought out. Well thought out. So the NHL, I would say this. I'll put all the other teams in the milk carton who don't have balls to go do this when you know your team is right there. Just give it up and go try to win a cup because look at what Vegas did. It worked, and now they're doing it again, backing it up.
Yeah, I think it was lawman Gary Lawless that said, after they did it, that this fan base and players, but like they should really respect what Bill Foley and this man does, man. They just go out and, like you said, they got big mabas and they get it done. Thomas Hertl, I mean, he is such a sick player.
He's going to be great on the team.
Every time I hear his name, I just remember Rock'em Sock'em or Grapes. He's like, if you turtle, they will call you Myrtle. Let's go. But, man, you set it up, dog. And I will say this. I'm so sick of all this fucking long-term IR talk and this and that and this and that. It's because of this stupid, hard salary cap we have. It's time to get rid of it. It's time for a luxury tax. Brad Tree Living's up in Toronto, where they make billions of dollars a year in revenue or whatever it is, and he can't make a fucking trade because he's up against it. Let him pay that luxury tax. It just, to me, there's ways around the cap. I think it's a bad look for the league. Go to a luxury tax. It's not going to happen until Bettman shuts it down. Whatever that's going to be, nobody knows. But hey, man, Bill Foley and those boys, Kelly McCrimmon, good on them. Good luck playing Vegas in the first round. You don't want them.
I get it. And touching on what you just said, I think if they do create this luxury tax, make it expensive. Make it really expensive for these teams to do this. And then everyone's going to benefit from it. Players are going to make more money. The teams that suck and have no, you know, internal revenue or whatever, you're relying on the TV deal, which isn't perfect either, they're all going to make more money. And the more money, the bigger teams, the Vegas, the New Yorks, get back to them going deep in the playoffs, and it makes everyone more money. The parity is great, but we don't need Carolina or Florida and fucking Minnesota in the finals. We need the big boys. We do.
I mean, every year the teams are still the same teams. Florida, Boston, Toronto, same as last year. New York, Carolina, Philly, that's a surprise.
Yeah.
Tampa, Detroit, Islanders, same teams. Dallas, Winnipeg, Colorado, same in the Central last year. Where's the parity? Columbus still stinks. I mean, Arizona stinks. Ducks stink.
Yeah.
Where's the parity? No parity.
Yeah.
Let's go. I want no salary cap. I'm sick of it.
Talk about parity when you pick the Chicago Blackhawks to lose and they're minus, you know, they're plus 580.
Oh, that was great. You're like, we're playing Shadow Creek. You're like, oops. You think the Hawks go in there and beat the Caps? I don't know, pal. I go, maybe take them, getting the goal at a half. You're like, just don't take them. The Caps are going to win that game. Sure
save enough, me money. Thanks.
Sure enough, you're like, what's the score of that Caps cost game? 3-0 Caps, fella. Milk carton, say Brady, Batherson, you beauty. I love you boys, but I got to put you on the milk carton because, hey, you're costing me cheddar. But up dog last night, Devils, Rangers. I love Matt Rempe. I love you, kid. I love you. However, listen, there is an unwritten rule in the league. The New Jersey Devils go out and trade for Curtis McDermott. They fly him all the way across the country to bring him in because you, my friend Matt Rempe, it's a compliment to you because you're disrupting the whole fucking league. So now Thomas Fitzgerald has got to make a trade, right? I guarantee you McFarland did not think his phone would ring for Curtis McDermott. He's like, hello? McDermott? Yeah. Well, yeah, sure, I'll take whatever. But I love McDermott. I love what he did in Colorado. He was good for them. He could play forward. He could play D. Listen, I said a couple weeks ago on this podcast that Rempe does not have to fight every night. I don't think he should fight every night. However, when the big boy comes into your rink from a trade, Rangers, Devils, kid, you got to fight him. You got to fight him right off the get-go. It sucks. I've been there. Maybe not to the level that you're doing it. I was not fighting the big boys like you're doing. I get it, Rempe. It sucks. But up dog, there is an unwritten rule that if that heavyweight comes into your barn, Rangers, Devils, he's got to fight him.
Yeah.
He's got to. Unfortunately, if people are not going to like it, Rempe, I love you, kid. You should have fought him there. You should have fought him right off the get-go. It would have been done with, and it would have been over with. Now, he's got to wait till they play again. He's going to get suspended. They're going to throw the book at him. He's going to get at least 5. George is going to throw the book at this kid. He's getting 5 at least.
I know, it sucks.
But I just think, listen, kid, I think you should have fought him.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it's a tough, it's a bad hit. So I went in saying this all along, is he's earned his respect now to say no to guys, whether this guy, McDermott, is the new heavyweight for the New Jersey Devils or not. It's in your building, so I think that even makes it like
he's
I do it on my time, but this is what I'm saying. He's already proved himself 5 times with 5 of the biggest heavyweights. Why does he need to go 6? Just because they're rivals? But I will say this. You got to understand the game, and when things happen throughout the game, whether someone hits your player and you got to stick up for that guy, or you hit someone on their team and you got to answer the bell, that is when, to me, you're forced to play the game of hockey like it's supposed to be played. You chicken wing the guy, you get him in the chops, he's down, you get protected by your teammates and the ref, you got to sneak away understanding you got to fight the guy. I think if he fights McDermott there,
well, now he has
Georgie.
To fight him.
Yeah, but Georgie takes that and goes, okay, at least he stood up and fought after, you know, the guys were coming after him. Like, he's gonna get suspended 5 games, yes. I think it would be less if he stood up and fought. And that's kind of my thing. Like, you know, there's a time and a place, and maybe at last night's game, at the start of the game, wasn't the time. But as soon as you chicken wing the guy, that's when you got to go. You have to.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, he knew he was done. He knew he was getting tossed out. Right? He fucking elbowed him right in the chops.
I know. That's when you just, that's when your wires
you're
just
still, crossed. You're still, he's still a rookie.
Yeah.
I love this kid.
I do too.
Let me not stress this
out. We all love him.
But now, especially all the vultures out there that hate the physical side of hockey, that don't want fighting, that don't want hits like this, and there's no room for this hit that Matt Rempe did. Kid, I love the way you play. Finish your checks like the Updog did, but don't be sticking out your fucking arm like that. However, they make a big trade. Like I said, he's a rookie coming into MSG. You got to go on, buddy. Yeah. You got to fight him. And then that's it. You don't have to fight him. You don't have to fight him the rest of the time if you don't want to. You don't have to. You fight him once in your barn, and then you're done. And I just thought, for everything that this kid has done great, I think if you asked him deep down right now if he could go back and just would have fought him off the get-go, I think he would have. It's easy for me to say sitting on my couch, hung cheese. But as an old pro guy, Updog, I do think he made a mistake. But I love this kid. He'll bounce back. Georgie, go easy on him. Go easy on him.
Listen, and I think his coach or his teammates probably had something to say at the start of the game. Like, hey, by the way, this guy's going to chase you around, but fucking do it on your time. We don't need to. You know what? Fuck them. They're chasing us.
Yeah.
I just think there was more to play in than him saying no off the start. But I get where you're coming from, Obes. You played the game the right way, the hard way. You know more than anyone, especially anyone listening to this podcast. So, you know, we're pulling for him. We're also pulling for him to keep his elbows in because we want him on the ice, and that's, you know, better for the NHL. People are showing up to watch this kid play.
Yeah, there's no room for that hit, kid. Learn from it. Listen, he's going to have to fight him eventually here. They traded for him to come in and fight him. So all I'm saying, like, if I'm a veteran kid in that room, I would have been, hey, kid, come here. They brought this big meat stick in. My advice to you is get it right away. Get the boys going. Get it over with. Go get them. Get them. You got them. Trust me. You're 6'8". Use your reach. Let's go, and then we'll win this hockey game. Now it's going to be – it's more of a circus, especially in New York City. I don't know. I just think I think we'll see how it plays out. But Rempe, still love you here at Missing Curfew. Updog, back up the Brinks truck. Beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep.
Listen, I love these two signings. Forsling and for the Panthers, 8 years, $46 million. Paul Maurice is such a beauty. There was a picture of Forsling either holding his baby or somebody's baby. I'm assuming it was his. And Paul Maurice is like, that's what coaches can do when he's out on the ice defensively. I can have a nap because I'm not even worried about him. I'm like, that could be the ultimate compliment. And then the tough kid, Updog, how do you say that name there? Fella, help me out, eh, bud?
Gadjevich.
I love this kid.
Gadovic.
I love this kid. 2 years, $775. Updog, you would have loved his response. He said, I'm living in South Florida. What else could be better than this? These are two great signings. Forsling, they had to lock up, and this kid got rewarded for playing the right way, up, dog. So back up the Brinks truck for those fellas.
Jordan Eberle, Seattle Kraken, 2 year extension, 9.5, 33 years old. There was a lot of talk of him getting shipped out if they didn't get that deal done before the deadline, but this guy's well earned. He's been like a heart and soul leader for this team since they've been around 3 years now. 14 goals, 23 apples. He's having a season. I like the deal, and I like what he's done for hockey in Seattle. I like it.
About to play his 1,000th game.
Crazy.
I think he might have over the weekend, or it's coming up real quick. But, yeah, listen, I thought Eberle could have been a right-handed scoring forward for a lot of teams out there. Right? I don't think the Kraken get in. If I was a GM, I would have been calling him for about this guy. But good for him. He likes it there. He will stay there. Last but not least, Updog, around the National League, my man. And I got to talk about my boy, John Tortorella. I don't know what he did to his thumb. He's got thumb surgery or something. You see his hands all backed up.
Your thumb. Maybe it's a vacation.
What's he doing, Torts?
Maybe he went up to Aspen and fell down. That's like the skier thumb. I had that surgery.
Yeah, he's got, that's
just
what he's got.
It. You just got to just tuck her in there for the next 6 weeks.
I'd like to ask Torts why he doesn't wear a suit and tie anymore either. He just wears the zip up with the Flyers pin on there. That doesn't seem like a John Tortorella move for me.
He's starting a new trend.
Yeah. Well, here's another new trend, because they fucking kicked him out of the game. He went straight Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not fucking leaving. They had to come over. He literally wasn't going to go anywhere. Big Georgie gave him two games and fined him $550,000. Listen, I don't think he should have been suspended for it. Just fine him, no. But I thought it was great when he didn't want to leave, man.
I love it.
It's great.
It's all time. And I love that the owner stepped out and said, we're going to take this suspension no matter what the cost is. We like our head coach. We know what he's here for. He's heart and soul. We're going to pay the fine no matter what it is.
It's awesome.
That's old school. Ed Snyder would be fucking
Love
fist pumping from his grave for that. Yeah. That's completely what you do when you love your coach, you love your team. How about the Kyle Clifford thing?
I
loved it.
I just want to say one thing about a coach before we move on. A coach should get kicked out at least once a year. At least.
Yeah.
At least once a
year. Especially in the dog days.
Yeah, like you need to...
Show your team that you mean business and you don't care about your cash.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Torts, good on you. I'll never forget when Torts just dumped the Buffalo wings in Buffalo. I'll never forget that, Torts.
So I saw this live. I think Princey put this out there. Saturday night in the AHL, Springfield forward Josef Dusek, little guy, little puke, scores against the Toronto Marlies to make it 4-1 and just goes buck ditty in front of the other bench. I mean, this little kid went down, grabbed the snow, did the old fucking salt shaker in front of him. And it was turn the lights out. It was Kyle Clifford. Speak about the wires crossed. I
can't believe Cliffy's still playing.
Listen, he jumps out there next shift and chases the guy around. And this kid had no business. He turtled like I've never seen turtle before.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Well, maybe he learned his lesson then, eh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This Clifford, he's a scary guy.
I can't believe he's still playing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was good in St. Louis and he was in, you know, after his days in LA. But I mean, listen, a guy that you don't want to fuck with, still in the AHL and just ready to knock your head off.
Princey, if you can find this clip, I remember when Kyle Clifford first came in the league, I was texting, me and Sheldon used to text about guys, and I'm like, fuck, this Kyle Clifford is a killer. But I go, Billy, mark my words, someone's going to fucking get this guy because he just sits in the pocket and he doesn't move his head. And Billy, I think Billy was in Chicago then, and just toe-to-toe, but just cut him all, like, made, like, nose.
Nice, Brookie.
Billy, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Billy was tough.
Billy was super tough.
Sheldon, so Brookbank, tough. Yeah,
Billy,
totally.
Brookbank. Updog, you're the man. Morgan, Kyle, thank you very much. Hall Pass Media. That was Missing Curfew.
Fellas.
Fella, we got to talk about Jägermeister. No chirping, no running its mouth. Let's just talk about the confidence on these guys.
Our friends at Jägermeister sent us this ad read to read on the show, fella. But they're confident that they said, don't do any of that normal ad stuff. Tell the listeners two things. Jägermeister's great, and everyone's been drinking it wrong. Well, if that's the case, how the hell do you think we should be drinking it?
Up, dog, that's a great question. Ice cold, fella. At 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it, my man. That's all they want to tell you. Damn, that's cold.
Just remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.